We're just going to read one verse together from Hebrews chapter 2. Now, we spent a lot of hours in this room already, and you just got another half hour to go. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 1. There's some pretty good notes up here. Somebody wants them after the meeting. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I'm going to read that in another translation, and I think it's an accurate translation. It says this: therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. Drifting. A drifter. You ever heard someone called a drifter? It's probably not always in a positive use of the term. Drifting. Now, these words were originally written to Hebrews, because it's called Hebrews. Now, that means that these words were written to Jews, certain Jews who had broken with Judaism, and they had embraced Christ. They had become Christians. And at the time of this writing, these saints were finding that being Christians wasn't really an easy thing. They were facing a lot of swift currents. There was the current of persecution. Just think of for a moment what it must have been like to live in these days and say you're a Christian versus living in the United States in 2006 and saying you're a Christian. Hey, where I come from, it's even a popular thing to be a Christian, to say, oh yeah, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. But when it came to these days and you said you were a Christian, you could be hauled off and executed for it. And so at the time of this writing, Christian life wasn't easy. There were these swift currents of persecution and of false teaching and even apostasy. And we'll have a couple of warnings in this book about apostasy. These currents are beating upon the Christians, and there existed a very real threat to sweep them away from the things that they had embraced. And so the writer, whoever it is, Paul or whoever, sends them this strong warning. Therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. Now, I know that's a good message for saints that lived at this time, but I am equally convinced that it's a message that you need to hear. And that I need to hear. Because there always exists the possibility that I can drift. And the likelihood is that I'm speaking to people that are not maybe going to drift. You're already drifting. You are drifting. You're going down a stream. There are currents taking you in the wrong direction. The reason why I know it's true is because I've done it myself, and I could even be doing it now. It's a very, very easy thing to drift. Old people need to hear about it. Young people need to hear about it. We constantly need this warning that we don't drift away. Now, first of all, we're going to look at three things. First of all, why do we need this warning? Why is it so necessary that centuries after the writer says this, we still need the same encouragement and exhortation not to drift away? First of all, we need the warning because there are currents out there that are hitting us. If you don't think there are, you're living in another world. You're living on another planet. I want to bring you to reality and get you to face the fact that there are currents. Just as surely as there are currents in the earth, and that there are currents in the water, and currents in the air, there are currents in life. And it doesn't matter how sheltered you may be, how sheltered your life may be, how much you might want to lock yourself and isolate yourself away from everything, there are currents that you cannot avoid. Every one of us faces temptation. Every one of us faces these currents. I want you to think of the current of materialism. And maybe this doesn't grip some of you that are younger than myself, but I know that it can grip somebody like myself. Materialism. Well, the preacher came over to visit unexpectedly, and wanting to make a good impression, the lady of the house comes over to her little daughter, and she gives her some instructions. She says, "Honey, you go run and get that good book we all love so well." The daughter thought about it for a minute, and then she ran off. And she came back with triumph in her face and the Sears catalog in her hand. Said, is this what you want, Mom? Materialism. It's something, you know, the thing about it is it often starts so slowly until eventually you want a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until you just can't get enough of the things that are all around us. It's kind of like vitamins. I don't know if you take your vitamins. We heard about pills today, and I'm older than a lot of you, but I actually don't take vitamins. It wasn't until just a few weeks ago, actually, when my daughter started kindergarten, and you get into new rituals, and we bought a bottle of vitamins. Thought it would be a good idea. Katie gets a vitamin for breakfast, and Mikey gets a half of one because he doesn't weigh enough yet. And every time it's, eat your vitamin. I don't like it. It tastes bad. I said, how bad can it taste? Well, I tasted one. It does taste bad. And that's why kids don't like vegetables, because they're loaded with vitamins. Vitamins are supposed to taste bad. And that's why you're supposed to cook those vegetables until they don't have any more vitamins left. And then they're actually good. But it's kind of like vitamins. You take them to get your 100% daily allowance, right? And once you get the 100%, research has shown that taking more vitamins actually doesn't help you at all. In fact, it could harm you. But some people apply this kind of a logic to it. Well, if a little was good, then a lot will be better. And so there are people that have actually overdosed on vitamins. You say, how can somebody overdose on vitamins? Hey, people have died from overdosing on vitamin A. Absolutely they have. Now, we take the same logic in the material realm and we say, well, a little bit of money is good because a little bit of money pays for the bills. And a little bit of money helps me do some of the things that I want to do. And if a little was good, then a lot will be better. Oh, no. There have been a lot of people's lives that have been ruined that way. To think that if I can just have more, if I can just get more, if I can just get bigger, if I can just get better. And eventually, that's your life. Your life is all about what you can get. The deadly current of materialism. I want you to think of the current of worldliness. Now, I'm going to sound old man-ish because I use that word, worldliness. We heard about godliness today. Now I'm going to tell you about worldliness. And I don't want you to think that I'm somehow immune from that compared to you. You think I don't know that the Tigers are playing. Do you think I would like... Hey, I would like to watch the Tigers lose. I mean, I would like to watch the Tigers play. Sorry, that slipped. We'll find out in a little while. Hey, any of us are subject to these things. In fact, the story was told of, maybe you remember Handley Page. If you've done any history work in aviation, you would have heard of him. He once landed on an isolated area during his travels, and unknown to him, a rat got on board his plane. Now, he's flying at I don't know how many thousand feet, but he hears that sound in the back that sickened his stomach, the sound of gnawing. And when you think of all the sensitive equipment and the mechanisms in an airplane, and then you hear something gnawing in the back, that would give you a sickening sense. And so he's not really sure what to do. You can't really just leave the controls and go back into the plane and look all around for a rat. But he remembered hearing that somehow rats could not survive high altitude. I really don't know where he would have read that, but he did. And he said, I've got an idea. And so he pulled up on the stick and started to go up and up and up and up until he was actually getting lightheaded. And he could hardly breathe. And he figured that's got to be good enough. And then he listened. Couldn't hear it. So he brought the plane back down and eventually landed that plane and looked behind his cockpit. And sure enough, right behind his seat, there was the rat. He's dead. He took it to a higher level. If he'd have stayed at that low level of flying, that little rat that was behind him could have brought him down. I want to tell you that the kind of low level Christian living, if you're content with that, if you're content with just staying as low as you can and still say, I'm a Christian, well, I was going to say, that's fine, but it isn't fine. You know why it isn't fine? Because if you stay at that low level, sin will eat away at your life and it will bring you down. I'm not just giving a threat. This is the Word of God. It will happen. It will bring you down. Get higher. higher where the things of the world cannot survive. That is the only safeguard, to get to a level where the things of the world can't survive. And so there's the current of worldliness and materialism and all of the things that you face today. I feel sorry for young people today. I thought it was bad 10 years ago. And now a lot of times I work with people and try to help people and email people and phone calls and try to deal with things that I can't. I find myself at a loss sometimes to even help people because of the things that you have to face. There's a lot of currents out there, and you know it because you're facing them. And so we need this warning. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. Let me tell you why else you need the warning. You not only need it because there are currents, you need this warning because those currents make it impossible for you to stand still. You can't stand still. It's not only impossible to avoid them, it's impossible to stand still in the midst of them. You only have two choices. You can either struggle to go upstream and fight against the currents, or you can drift. I've never seen a boat in a river doing something in the middle of those two choices. It's either going up against the stream and it's working and it's toiling to do it and it's struggling, or it's just drifting. And those are the two choices that you have. There's absolutely no standing still in Christian life. You're either becoming better or you're becoming worse. You're either getting stronger or you're getting weaker. You're either getting closer to God and closer to His Word and closer to the fellowship of the Lord's people, or you're getting farther away from them. And so we need this warning because there are currents and because those currents make it impossible for us to stand still. We've got to make a choice. And you might have to make a choice this weekend. You know why else you need the warning? Because drifting is so easy. Isn't it? You don't think I know that? How easy it is to just say, let's just let whatever happens, happens. You know, you meet people out in the world and that's how they're living their life. Oh, whatever happens to me happens and I can't really control it and I'm fine with it. And yet we can be like that as the Lord's people, as brethren and sisters, and say, whatever life has to offer me, whatever deck I'm dealt, whatever hand I'm dealt. And, well, to go against the stream, it means fleeing temptation. That's hard. To go against the stream means to fight the good fight of faith. I don't want to fight. That's too hard. To go against the stream means to be a clean soul in an unclean world. And that's too hard. And so it all spells struggle. And you were never promised when you said, I believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I'm going to follow Him. You were never promised that there wouldn't be struggle. But it's very easy now to say, I don't want the struggle. And so I'd just rather drift. You can either struggle upstream through the power of God, or you can pull up the anchor and just become a piece of driftwood. And those are your choices. Can I ask you, what choice are you making? Naturally speaking, we will always do what's easier. We will always do what's easier. We love the easy way and we're in constant danger of drifting. That's why we need this warning. Therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away. Now, I want you to look secondly. Why? Maybe you say, big deal, drifting. What's so bad about drifting? I rather like it. It's kind of unpredictable. Yeah. What's so bad about drifting? Why is it so dangerous? Well, first of all, it's dangerous because drifting always leads down. Always does. I have never seen anything, any object in a stream, in a river, in moving water, I've never seen an object drift upstream. It doesn't happen. You will never drift upstream either. Don't kid yourself. You're either moving closer to God or you're going further away. If you're drifting today, you're drifting toward wrong, not toward right. If you're drifting today, you're drifting not toward the best, but toward the worst. Those are the two options. If you're drifting today, you're drifting not toward the assembly, but away from it. Just admit it. And if you're not saved today, you're not drifting toward heaven. I can tell you that. You're drifting toward hell. So every one of us that drifts is drifting downward. That's why it's dangerous. And that's why we're sounding this warning today. Maybe this is a bit of a serious message to end the day with. That's fine. Because this is a serious book. And these lives we have are serious lives to live. But drifting, you know why else is dangerous? Not only that it leads down, but very often it happens so unconsciously. We're not even aware of the fact that it happens. Look at that piece of driftwood in the river. It becomes dislodged from where it is, and it just starts to slowly move a little bit at a time, and then it picks up a little bit more speed, and then eventually it gets into the rapids where it's getting a little faster. But initially, it's going very slow, and we can drift and be entirely unaware of it. One man said this. He said, it's often so slow in the beginning as to be almost imperceptible. It's often so rapid in the end as to be all but irresistible. You got that? Can't hardly notice it at the beginning. Can't hardly stop it at the end. Let me just suppose something with you. A case study. You're fishing. He said, I don't like to fish. You're fishing, okay? That's the given. You're fishing in a boat and you're going down the stream. I know that about 500 feet from where you are, there's falls. I see you moving toward them. Now, you don't know about it. You're having a great time fishing. You're getting closer and closer. What should I do? That's a very simple case study. What should I do? If I didn't tell you, you'd have every right to hate me the rest of your life, which would only be about 5 seconds. If I didn't tell you, could you really say that I cared about you? But I ought to sound a warning for you. I ought to sound the most urgent warning I could send you. Hey, there's trouble ahead. You keep going that direction you're going and there's going to be disaster. You keep drifting. I'm warning you. You might be having a good time. You might be having fun fishing. You might be catching a lot of fish and enjoying yourself. But if you keep on drifting, you're going over. That's such a warning as I'm giving to some now. And you couldn't tell... You couldn't accuse me of not caring about you if I were to tell you today that if some of you keep going the way you're going over. You're going to drift and you're going to drift and it's going to be disaster. Can't you see you're drifting? You know how you can tell? Hey, if you're in a boat, things are going by pretty fast. You look at the shoreline and see how quickly things are moving past you. Now you can tell you're drifting spiritually. Your Bible's way upstream. And you haven't opened it in a long time. Maybe to get an answer for something, or you probably can't remember the last time that one night every week, one morning every week you read it. Bible's way upstream. The assembly's way upstream. I'll go there if there's a nice social function or conference. The believers are way upstream. And you're drifting along. If this reaches one person, thank the Lord. But you're going downstream and things are moving quickly. And you know something? Maybe today you're at home in a crowd that a year ago you would have said, that won't be me. Or maybe you're at home in a crowd that a year ago would have disgusted you. But now you're in that crowd. And you live a life and you talk a language that would make your parents shocked, that would break your parents' heart. Maybe you've already broken their hearts. Drifting. I want to ask you, anybody going to drop anchor this weekend? Put the anchor down and say, all right, that's it. That's enough. I'm turning around. That's called repentance. When you change your mind and turn around and say, I'm not going that way. There is such a thing as Christian repentance. When you resolve, I'm turning around, I'm not going that direction anymore, I'm moving this way. And if it means struggle, and it will mean struggle. There's not a Christian that wakes up that resolves to do something for God and live his or her life for God that doesn't get up and realize, I'm going to have a struggle today. But if I can just make it a little bit further up, maybe I'll regain some of what I've lost. If I can just get a little further upstream, by the help of the Spirit of God, if I can just move a little bit further up. Drifting is dangerous because it leads down and because it happens sometimes and we're not even aware of it. Thirdly, it's dangerous because if it's persisted in, it always ends in ruin. Always ends in ruin. Just as sure as the law of gravity is sure, and when things go up, they must come down, so is this law sure. You continue to drift. If I continue to drift, I will drift into disaster. You say, well, it'll never happen to me. I know that at any given time I can do whatever I want and turn around and everything will be fine again. And my life will be back together. It'll never happen to me. I can keep going a little bit further and I will be okay. Can I tell you that the biggest, strongest ship in the sea is no exception to this law? Right? Put the biggest, strongest ship in the sea, in the river, and see it going down. The engines are turned off. The captain steps away from the controls, and that ship starts to drift. What's going to happen to that ship? What's going to happen to it? Is it going to somehow magically drift right into the safe harbor and tie itself up and be okay? Yeah, right. You know what's going to happen to it. It's either going to slam into the rocks near the shore, or it's going down. Maybe you could say today, well, it won't ever happen to me. It will if you drift. You're no exception. I'm no exception. Well, I'm a good, strong Christian. I was raised in the assembly. I know the Bible. I've got so many advantages. I'm strong. Just make a stronger wreck. In the name of my God tonight, I am pleading with young people to turn around, to put that anchor down and start moving in the right direction. One more reason why it's dangerous, and maybe you haven't thought of this. Maybe you have thought of it because it's already happened. Drifting often harms other people as you're moving along. They tell you that one of the greatest dreads of the sea is a drifting ship. Know why? Well, see, a lot of times you can see the rocks. Well, there it is. I'll just move around it. And the good thing about rocks, they don't move. So I know exactly where to go. That's a dangerous thing, but it's not as dangerous as a drifting ship. And the thing about winds, sometimes, yeah, they might be dangerous, but other times I can use them to my advantage. And actually steer things in the direction that I ought to go. Take the winds as an advantage and move forward. But a drifting ship, which way is it going? Well, now it's going this way. But now it's going that way. And now it's over here. And now it's over there. How fast is it going? Well, now it's going this fast. And now it's going that fast. Where do we steer? How do we get away from this ship? Totally unpredictable. Nobody knows. Where do you go? A drifting soul, a drifting believer can wreak havoc on other people around. And you probably know that to be true already. I want to ask you, do you want to be responsible for a personal shipwreck of your own? That's one thing. God help us that we're responsible for the shipwreck of other people. Come along with us. We're going to do the fun thing. We're going to have a good time. Just come along. Well, you can wreck your life. Please don't wreck someone else's. And so drifting can be dangerous for a lot of reasons. Now, as I'm finished, how do we change this? If there are any of you honest enough to admit that this applies to me, and maybe I'm speaking to just 5% of the people here, maybe not. If there are any that are honest enough to admit that this is my life, how can I avoid drifting? I don't want to sound too proud. Let me add, there's a tendency in all of us to become a drifter. I'm not taking myself away from this message. But there's someone who can overcome this tendency. There is someone that can help us to head in the right direction. And you know that it's none other than our blessed Lord Jesus, who in this very chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, is called the captain. The captain of our salvation. And He can steer us where we ought to be. But He has to be the captain. We have got to let Him be the captain. And how can we do that? How can we do that? Listen to the text again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. In other words, listen to what you've heard. Listen to what has been told you, even this weekend. Sometimes it's a little easier to listen to what the Word of God has to say and bow to it. But what about the things that you have heard from maybe some older believers that have tried to help you? How do you handle that? Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, when I was maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, I got a lot of letters from a certain man in our assembly. And I know that he was trying to encourage me. I know that now because I kept them and I read them again a few months ago. But you know, when I got some of those, I was like, why do you put that in there? You want somebody to give you a letter and tell you everything you're doing right and how wonderful you are and how great you are and how great thing it is for you to be in the assembly and we're glad you're saved. And do people send those out? They should. But these weren't letters like that. But I read them about 6 months ago and I said, he was trying to encourage me here. Maybe 10 years ago I thought the other way around. What do you do when an older brother or sister tries to encourage you? Do you listen to it? Do you listen to the advice? Do you listen to the wisdom? Do you listen to the Word of God? If you don't listen to the Word of God and if you don't listen to the godly advice that you're giving, you know what? You don't got a captain. You're drifting. He's not your Lord. So that sounds pretty serious. Yeah. It's because it is. As I sit down, I want to share with you just how serious and how deadly it can be. I've read this in a lot of books. Maybe you've read the story too. There's a man standing on the bank of the Niagara River, and he saw a dead sheep being swept down the current. And an eagle swooped down, landed on that sheep, and the two of them went down into the water for just a moment and then rose back to the surface. And the talons of that eagle began to freeze on the carcass of that sheep. He didn't know that. They're just kind of drifting along. And they're getting closer and closer to the falls. I imagine if the eagle could speak and you would say, hey, the falls are coming up. I imagine he turned to you and say, hello, I have wings. Don't you see these great wings of mine? I'll soar into the air and there won't be a problem at all. Little did he know that he was become a part of that object that was drifting. And then the moment came. And those enormous wings began to flap. And he was ready to head up into the air. But the weight of that sheep frozen to his talons took both of them down over the falls where both of them would perish. You know, there was a time when he could have easily escaped. He wasn't made for the falls. He was made for the air. He was made to soar high above everything else. You're made for something higher than what you've got your talons on today. You're made for something far higher. If you only knew how high that home is that God has for you in heaven. There's a time when you can do something about it. There's a time just when that eagle could have let go and stopped becoming a drifter. You can do that today. You can let go of those things that are taking you down. And you can put the anchor down yourself and say, Lord, enough is enough. I want to turn from here. I want to head in the right direction. And with your help, with your power, I'll struggle against these currents that are hitting me every day and try to make a little bit more progress on the way of holiness and the things of God. I hope it'll be the case.